Zachary was already wondering how I jumped from Mark to Psalm 136. Well, it's Thanksgiving week, to be sure. So let's turn to Psalm 136. And I would ask that you would do something for me today. I will read the first part, and you will respond with, "For his steadfast love endures forever." Is that clear enough? All right. Psalm 136. Not there yet, but I'll get there. As has been, we've been reminded of in this morning, we in this country, we need to focus on thankfulness. Thankfulness is interestingly contagious. Thankfulness and gratitude, when you're around people like that, you automatically become the same way. It's easy to consider the thanksgiving and gratitude around us. Negative people, well, they breed negativity. The reality is believers struggle in life. We struggle with health and emotion, spiritual struggles that we've talked about here even in our prayer time. But as believers, we have so many more things to be thankful for than that which are troubling us. So let's read together Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by understanding made the heavens. To him who spread out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights. The sun to rule over the day. The moon and stars to rule over the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. And brought Israel out from among them. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two. And made Israel pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his hosts in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings. And killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servant. It is he who remembers us in our low estate. And he rescues us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for that steadfast love. We thank you that you are the God of the heavens. We thank you that you are our creator, our deliverer. We thank you, Father, for these things and more. And we rejoice that your word does not stop pointing these things out to us. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1636, during the dark times of the Thirty Years' War, a Lutheran pastor by the name of Martin Rinkhart buried 5,000 of his parishioners in one year, an average of 15 funerals a day. Goes without saying that his parish was ravished by war and disease and economic disaster. In the very midst of this darkness, in the midst of that war, he sat down and wrote the words of a familiar hymn. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, whose wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arm has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. He was a man who knew that giving thanksgiving was not dependent upon the circumstances of the day, good or bad. Giving thanks was something that you just do as a Christian. Psalm 136 is a psalm of gratitude, commanding us to give thanks. It was written nearly 3,000 years ago, but the things that the psalmist praises God and thanks God for apply to us today. Every day we should have thanks in our mind and in our hearts, no matter what's going on around us. Not just on Thanksgiving Day, we make a big deal of giving thanks this week, but all the time. We are to give thanks, the New Testament tells us, in all circumstances. And the psalmist helps us to realize this as he commands us to give thanks in verses 1 through 3. He says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever." Think about it. If there was nothing else that the Bible tells us, that would be enough to praise him and to thank him to eternity. But it is a command. It's written in an imperative form. Give thanks. Give thanks. And in its proper form, it also looks to the fact that it assumes that his people want to give thanks. He is good. He is God of gods and Lord of lords. That should move us to want to give thanks. But if that wasn't enough, 26 times we hear this refrain, "For his steadfast love endures forever." 26 times. We talk about how important numbers are. You know, 3 is a complete fullness, 7 is full, 12 is a good, great number. But 26 times we have the same refrain over and over again. You said it well. It should be something we never forget. For his steadfast love endures forever for his people. When someone is loved that much, shouldn't our days be pretty light? Shouldn't it be easy? Shouldn't it be easy for us to give thanks? Shouldn't it be easy for us to show gratitude to others when we know we are loved that much? To be loved so completely, so unconditionally, should cause us to always want to give thanks to the one who alone deserves our praise. This God who we are commanded to give thanks to is good. God is good. Just like he is the God of gods and Lord of lords, he is good. He defines good, and his acts are always good. Divine goodness is an overflowing of God's bounty by which he communicates blessings to all his creation. God cannot be anything else but good. Seems like something worthy of giving thanks for, to be sure. Can't think of anything else to give thanks for. His love and his goodness, well, he gives us more. Verses 4 through 9, he tells us to give thanks for his creative works. To him alone who does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. to him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. When was the last time that you gave thanks to God because he made the moon? Probably last week when it was full, right? Yeah, it was pretty, wasn't it? Living out where you live, it had to be really pretty. Because it's pretty enough at my place, but I have other lights. Yours is really cool. You like the stars too, yeah. But we can't always see the stars at night, right? Because of clouds. So we don't think about giving thanks. You don't have clouds at your place? You do? Okay. But that we don't often consider that. His creation. Anybody here give thanks for the critters that invade your trash cans? I know there's been a rash of coons in town lately. But giving thanks for his creation, it's not something we spend a lot of time with. The beauty and awesomeness of his creation should move all people, but especially his people, to give thanks. The next section actually emphasizes another reason to give thanks, his deliverance from bondage, verses 10 through 16. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them. For his steadfast love endures forever, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. For his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two. For his steadfast love endures forever. Made Israel pass through the midst of it. For his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his hosts in the Red Sea. For his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. He delivered these people from their bondage in Egypt. Jesus came and delivered us from our bondage of sin and death and whatever else causes us to take our eyes off the Lord. Of course, he's talking about salvation here. Just like Paul in Galatians 1, 3 through 5, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us, to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we see the Exodus has a counterpart in the New Testament, according to Paul. The cross. Just as the Old Testament saints danced and praised and thanked God for their deliverance from Egypt, so we should be expressing that same thanks. The thoughts of our salvation, the thoughts of our forgiveness, the thoughts of our ongoing forgiveness, the thoughts of our ongoing sanctification, all these things ought to be moving us towards the joy that Paul speaks about. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice, giving thanks for what he has given to us, to the God who has rescued us. That should be enough to give thanks for all eternity, to be sure. Some days it's hard to understand, but it's always worthy of our thankfulness. Some days it just doesn't add up, but we're still called and commanded to give thanks. I read a story recently that was told about this tension between giving thanks and having a hard time with that, at the same time not fully understanding the need to give thanks. A young man had been burned very badly in a boiler explosion. To save his life, the doctors recovered him with 600 square centimeters of donor skin. A journalist asked him sometime after he had been healing, "Do you ever think of the donor who saved your life?" The young man said, "Every day, to be alive because someone else died is too big, too much, I can scarce take it in. Too much. And we're much like that young man. Somebody had to die for us to be saved, namely Jesus Christ. That should be so overwhelming, so big, so huge that we could scarce take that in. Giving thanks doesn't even seem to begin to touch all of that. And yet that's what God commands, that we should give thanks continually just for this one thing. But there's more. We thank Him because He is of His steadfast love. We thank Him because He's good. We thank Him because He's God. We thank Him for what He created. We thank Him because He's delivered us from sin and death. Next, the psalmist reminds us that we are to thank Him because He relieves us of our enemies, His enemies. Verses 17 through 24. To Him who struck down great kings, for His steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His steadfast love endures forever. Og, king of Bashan, for His steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for His steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, His servant, for His steadfast love endures forever. It is He who remembers us in our low estate, for His steadfast love endures forever. It rescues us from all our foes, for His steadfast love endures forever. We have been delivered from sin and death, but also from the control of Satan, the control of the world, and the control of our own fleshly desires. We've been rescued from those. But if you're like me, there are days go by that you wonder if you've been rescued from those. It doesn't always feel that way. It doesn't feel that way when we take our eyes off the prize, when we take our eyes off the victory, when we take our eyes off Christ. The Scriptures command us, let us look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of our God. Let us look to Jesus, for He is the one who enables us to have the victory that we might thank Him for eternity. The children of Israel could not say they achieved any victory whatsoever when they came into the promised land, because every time they tried to do it on their own, what happened? They failed. But with God, nothing was impossible. With God and God alone, victory was won, and God received the glory for that victory. They received the benefits of the victory, just like we received the benefits of the victory, as long as we stay focused on Christ and the victory. You know the Scripture. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's the moment we take our eyes off Christ that we fall. Moment we take our eyes off Christ, that we begin to doubt. The victory's there for us, but we must continue to look to Christ. Again, a command, let us look to Christ. And that will be fulfilled. God gives thanks, commands us to give thanks for His steadfast love, for His goodness, that He is God, that He's creator, that He's deliverer. He's the one who gains victory for His people. And lastly, almost as an anticlimactic statement, He says to give thanks for the food we eat. He who gives food to all flesh, for the steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. All the big things that this psalm takes into place, how big God is, His goodness, the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords, the one who created everything, who struck down Egypt, who sent his people forth, who took care, provided all of those huge things, rescuing us from our sins, is the same God who provides our food for us. Big things, little things, God provides it all. And there's so much for us to give thanks for. You know, when you're giving thanks for your meal with your family, think beyond the roteness of your prayers and begin to insert specific things, if you don't already do that, that you want to give thanks for. Because it teaches our children that there's more to God than just the duty of praying, but the desire to pray, recognizing who He is and giving thanks for that. Now, as we leave this year behind in just a few weeks, we need to look towards the next one and establish the fact that we want to give thanks better, if you will. We want to be more mindful of what and why we need to give thanks. So let us listen to the words of Scripture. Let us remember what God tells us. Let us give thanks for the same things that people have been giving thanks for millennia. For God, His steadfast love endures forever. He is God. He is good. He is God over all. He's a deliverer. He's a creator. He takes us from our enemies. He provides for our tables. These are the things that have been thanked for millennia. Let us do the same thing. You see, God is in the details. I mean, everybody wants to say Satan's in the details, but the reality is Satan can't do anything that God doesn't tell him to do. God is in the details, all of them. You remember these words from David, "For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So he says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." And His people respond saying, "Amen." Pray with me. Father, we thank You for Your constant love, the fact that You are God above all, the fact that You are Creator, Deliverer, that You take care of all our enemies. You rescue us from them. And You provide for our every need, all the way down to our tables. For You are the God of heaven, and we thank God for Your steadfast love. In Jesus' name, amen.